I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylow's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Bigfoot and Dogman Show. Right, tonight I'm joined by a lovely couple from the northeast of England who had a strange encounter in Skegness. Okay, so if you want to lead us into what happened, now this happened a couple of nights before you saw this sighting, which we're going to go into, but this may or may not be relevant to what you saw, but I'd like for people to know that this happened as a sort of a precursor to this. You know, like I say, it may not be relevant, but I think we should discuss it. So do you want to start with what you saw a couple of nights before and then we'll go into the main event, so to speak?
Yeah, no worries. We were doing makeshift on a job and we work outside on a job. And you use the collar to stay warm. So we're jumping the collar, we're getting a bit of a warm. And I was messing about on my phone and Kirsty looked up and she says, "Oh my God, are you seeing that?" And it was like it was a light shooting down from the sky. It wasn't a shooting star or anything. And it landed in a field behind a couple of houses that were in front of her. So me and Kirsty came out of the car and we went to the gates where this field was. And you could see this bright light at the very other end of the field. It was about 5 football pitches away from her. So that's how far away the light was. And then all of a sudden it just dimmed off, didn't it? It like vanished, this big light. And then we thought, not much more of it. We jump back in the car and we cracked on with a shift.
No.
And then a couple of nights later, we ended up on the other job.
Okay, and just for the audience, so this job's quite close, a couple of miles from where you saw this light.
Yes, this light that was seen was in Wettenley Marsh.
Right. And what colour was the light?
It was bright white.
And what sort of size would you say? I know you were some distance away, but roughly.
Well, from where we were sitting, you would say about the size of a car.
Like a quarter. Yeah, so it's fairly significant then. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not someone walking across the field with a flashlight, is it?
No.
All right.
Honestly, it just comes straight down from the sky.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean, it came straight down. Did it just how long was it? Sort of, did it hover for a bit before it disappeared, or did it immediately disappear?
When it came down, it hit the floor. We went over to the edge of the field. Obviously, we couldn't go onto the field because it would have been trespassing. But as we looked up the field, you could see the big ball of light at the end of the field, and it seemed to dim and just go off.
Oh, so it was there. It was there for a little while. Then it didn't just.
I'd say about 3 seconds we've seen it for.
Yeah.
The light in the field, about 3 seconds.
Yeah, only a few seconds.
Aye.
I guess what I was getting at is like it wasn't a meteor, obviously, if it stayed around for a bit. No,
no, it definitely wasn't a meteor or a star or anything like that.
That'd be one of the questions that we got there. So, okay, so
there was no noise or anything, and it was like honestly, never seen. I've seen a lot of stuff in the sky and stuff, but I've never seen that before.
Cool. So, all right. So, take me to the events of the a couple of nights later, and this is around Christmas time last year.
It was the 19th of December. Right. 2021.
Okay.
Obviously, we're on night shift again, and this was in Burlemarsh.
Right.
On night shift again, we're sitting in the car, and we heard a scream, and it sounded like a woman's scream. So we quickly drove around the site, drove around by the woods, over the little valley things that they've got, because it was like right on the site. And we couldn't see nothing because we thought someone might have been injured or something. And then we went back to the entrance, and we're probably about 30 foot away from the entrance, watching over the entrance. And then about 15, 20 minutes later, there was this thing running. At the side of where you've got like sheds, and then you've got like a little wooded area which comes along, stops just in front of work. And then you've got a field, and then behind that field, there was a big wall with a lamppost up against the wall.
Yep.
This thing came from the wooded bit. It was like the way I describe it was like a deformed deer or an elk. So right. It was quite a size, and it just came running across the wall. You know what I mean? Like in front of the wall. It was about 10 meters in front of the wall, 20 meters in front of the wall, I was going.
Yeah, but running parallel to the wall, you mean, so.
Yeah. It was galloping like you would see a deer galloping.
Yep.
And I tried to get, because I says, Casey, what the fuck is that? And I tried putting the high beam on the car, but the high beam wouldn't work. More like the main flash.
Yeah.
And this thing was just running, and it seemed to, do you know like the way that a ranger takes off, runs, and it takes off, and it just carries on running?
Yep.
Nah. That's what this done. And it went up, and it got to the top of the lamppost, and it just vanished.
So to the audience then, so this is, so you see, firstly, it comes out the woods, runs sort of in front of you.
I mean,
was your headlights on? This was late at night, I believe. It was like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it was about half two-ish, 3 o'clock-ish. Yeah.
And you had your headlights on?
No, I had the engine running with no lights on, because we're just getting warm.
But there was a street light just across the way from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it comes, so it's running towards that light, which is obviously handy.
Yes,
and then,
that's right.
And then it sort of leaped in the air, and then, you know, what you described to me is almost like it leaped and then leaped and then leaped again, almost like you'd see like in a Mario or something, you know, like a double jump in a game, you know?
Yeah, it was just galloping in midair, took three big, like, jumps, and then just vanished into the light.
Yeah.
Just gone.
So just for the audience, and just that, I mean, we're talking about it jumping in midair. There's nothing it's jumping on. It's just jump in midair.
Like you would see a dog, do you know, when a dog runs up the stairs and you watch it from the side, what it looked like. It was just running up a set of stairs.
What sort of height did it get to before it vanished?
It was about the height of the lamppost, I would say about 20 foot.
Yeah, something like that, I'd say. Yeah. And
it was very, very strange. It was quite a big, the way I described it, it's like an elk.
Yeah.
Big, muggly thing. And the way Kirsty describes it is like the dogs, do you know the dogs off Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
That's how it ran. She describes it differently to the way I describe it, but obviously people say it different ways, you know what I mean? It's the best way I could describe it, and that's the best way you can. Big, massive legs, back to front leg. The hind legs were back to front. But they were massive, big, muscly things.
So when you say back to front, what you're talking about, like dog legs, where the knees?
Yeah, like a dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that haunch at the bottom there.
Yeah.
So, has it run across you? I think we talked the other day, and you mentioned that it sort of looked towards you both as it was running away. Yeah. Can you describe for the audience exactly what this creature looked like in the face and, you know, obviously you described the legs and the main body of it, if you can, the colours and whatever you can remember.
Yeah, it was like a brown colour, and the face was like a human head, like a human face.
Right.
Sorry, not the face, like the head, because you couldn't see the facial features, but it was that shape, the oval shape of a human. It was very strange. And it had quite a big neck, big shoulders. And in case he said it had a big bum.
Yeah.
With massive hind legs.
And neither of you noticed the tail, did you, so?
No.
Yeah.
To be honest, if it hadn't vanished, I would have just put it down to Diawf deformities.
Yeah.
That's what I would put it. But the way that it done that, I was like, nah. And for all these years where you've been questioning it, we talk about it very regular, just to try and make sense of what we're seeing. And then obviously we're seeing the ad that was in the local paper down that way. We were like, my God, is that the thing that we've seen?
Yeah, so I mean, some of the things that we've seen are not too distant. I mean, this area is, for people that want to know, it's like Skegness area, so it ain't too far away from where I am. But so some of the characteristics here that rule out other animals is obviously the jumping in midair, the vanishing, the actual fur on this, or would you say fur or skin? It was short haired, I think you said the other day.
Yeah, it had like a short hair, like you could see the muscles moving, and it was like a brown colour, like I say, like a deer.
Mm.
So it was that sort of brown colour, but it was like staffy fur.
Yeah, yeah. So real short, coarse sort of.
Real short. Yeah, that's how it could see the way that it moved properly in the size of its legs. And I was just in awe of it, because after it vanished, I jumped out of the car. Casey locked us out of the car as well. As soon as I got out, she locked it and she stayed in. And I went down. I had a spotlight, a very powerful spotlight. And I went down to make sure I hadn't like jumped over a fence or something. And there was no fence there. There was just open fields. I scanned all the fields. I scanned everywhere. I couldn't find it at all. I couldn't see what it was. There was no print. I couldn't find a print.
And I thought it was interesting. You mentioned about the turkeys the other day. I mean...
Yeah, well, next to where we were, there was turkey sheds, and the turkeys were clucking all night. They were clucking away. And then they started screaming. Then all of a sudden, when we seen that, there was just dead silence.
Yeah. It's interesting, because that, I mean, obviously that gets reported. That's sometimes commonly referred to as the Oz effect. I think Jenny Randalls might have coined that back in the day. But, it's this where everything just seems to go silent for that period of time.
It was definitely quiet.
Well, people even report like the wind stopping, you know, and I'm not sure.
Yeah. Casey just literally said that just before you said it.
Yeah. I mean, that in itself is strange, but I don't know if that's internal to us or if it's external. It's difficult to say, but when you've got two people experiencing at the same time, you tend to think that's external. But
it could be a touch of shock as well, like, couldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So you say the face looked, you know, it's sort of human shapeish. I mean, we're not talking about horns or, you know, ears, what you'd expect to see on a deer. You didn't see any of those type of things. What about the eyes then?
It didn't even have the ears of a deer.
It didn't have any characteristics
of deer
at all.
Couldn't say no characteristics. Did you hear what Casey just said there?
Yeah. So yes, what about the eyes? Because you mentioned the eyes before. I mean, could you see the eyes or?
Was black.
Yeah, because it's facing you with a light behind it. If that's how I'm sort of, yeah.
That's probably how we didn't get to see any features, probably.
Yeah, I think that's probably
it. Because it was like a second it looked at, like Casey just said, as it was running, I've thought, have they seen us? And it was more like it was scared of us than anything else. It seemed like it wanted to get away from us.
I personally, only going on what I, experience and stories I've, come across, people I've spoke to, but it does seem that 99% of the time they do want to remain anonymous. You know, they don't want to be seen. They don't. And again, these interactions that, I can't say all the time, but a lot of the times they do take place when there's not many people about, i.e. 3 a.m, that sort of that time. Just before dawn, just after dusk, and then sort of, that sort of time in the morning, 3 a.m, so... But
we were looking into some of the stuff the other day, and we've noticed a little pattern like that. It seems to be in the winter hours when the more active, when there's more sightings.
Maybe because
of
longer dark
nights. It might just be due to the lack of foliage and things, during the winter months. It might be easier to see these things. It might be easier for them to hide when there's a lot more foliage and things like. Maybe they take more risks in the winter because there's the more hungry. I don't know.
Less people out.
But it does seem like in the UK, it does seem sort of September onwards is very sort of high reporting. I mean, you get reports, oh yeah, don't get me wrong, but September onwards seems to be fairly, when you think about people out and about, especially camping, those sorts of scenarios, you tend to think that's more of a summertime activity, but you do get lots of reports sort of September onwards, which is strange. But, yeah. You know, but obviously they're there all year and we just don't catch up with them maybe the rest of the year. I don't know. But, it's interesting. You also said that, you know, someone else you work with, sort of the UFO, let's call it the UFO for now, we don't know what it was, but this light you saw, you mentioned to one of your colleagues that, you know, did you see that? And he sort of nonchalantly just said, you know, that happens all the time. But this is someone that's regularly out at that sort of hour in the morning.
There's quite a few of the lads that have seen that. It was when I've lost my train of thought now. It was when we're down in Preston. I was in the back of the van. I was asleep, and Percy was in the front. And one of the other lads I was working with was in the car beside her. And obviously, Kirsty, she woke us up because she was filming this thing for about 2 hours. She was watching this thing for about 2 hours just in the sky. And she videoed some of it. And she woke us up and she says, "Have you seen this?" And I looked and I says, "Yeah, I told you this happens all the time." And I jumped back and went to sleep. And Damo was sitting, one of the boys was sitting next to her. And he seen it as well, like, and he was watching it as well.
He's
seen it thousands of times as well.
And what did that look like, just so?
It was a light that was just moving erratically back and forth in a way that a plane can't, and then came towards the van, didn't it, in this field.
Did you get that?
Yeah. So it's similar to what you saw up in Skegness then, really. I mean, similar sort of.
No, not because this thing was much bigger and it was moving side to side in like a regular pattern. A way that a helicopter or plane just can't, quite quickly, zigzagging, and then sort of came towards the van and then sort of disappeared. It never hit the ground like the one in Skegness. One in Skegness came directly down, it shot down towards the ground. It wasn't going anywhere else. It didn't go side to side, it shot straight down. So yeah, it was quite different.
I've got a video of something we recorded that sounds similar to that. I might send you it across later. But, I mean, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, it's a brief sighting. This is what tends to happen. Most of the sightings fall into this sort of category that are just like, you know, real quick sort of glimpses, roadside crossings, that type of thing. Few seconds, but it leaves a lasting impression on people, which is fair enough. Again, there's two sort of camps that people fall in after something like this. People want to know more, and then people just want to leave it completely alone, which is, you know, I understand both. But, that area is, I've got quite a few reports from that area, you know, all the way up the coast. I mean, right the way up the coast of England, any of the coast of England really seems to get a lot of sightings. And Skegness is pretty much on the coast, for those who don't know. So, you know, I don't know what that means. I'm not sure, because obviously you'd think that they are more inland where there's a lot more cover in that, but I don't know.
my little theory is, could it be ETs and that's their pick-up points and drop-off points in the ocean?
There's been long discussed now for, you know, this notion of an underwater UFO base in the North Sea. I know, yeah. Skegness Police have actually filmed the UFO from, I don't know if you've seen the footage of that, but Skegness Police actually filmed the UFO over the North Sea from their headquarters that was on the roof. There's lots of things go on in the North Sea, but I don't know, like I said before, I don't know if the two things are related, but the fact that it does seem to happen in the same locations at a similar time does sort of lend weight to that, but we can't say for definite, can we? We don't know.
Exactly.
But
it'd be interesting though, if any of you listeners have seen anything like this, if they could let you know, and would you be able to let us know, because we're still
Absolutely.
Very much intrigued.
Yeah.
I want to know what the hell it was, what I seen, mate.
It'd be really interesting if someone in that local area has seen something similar as well. So, before we go here, I just want to get a general size of this. I know you said like an elk before. So, I mean, if this thing that you saw never left apart from when it jumped, it never left all fours. It run out on all fours. But, I mean, if you could... I mean, I know it's difficult to estimate size and things like that, but if it stood up, I mean, what sort of height would you say this thing would sort of, you know, how tall would you say it would be?
Usually 10 to 14 foot.
Yeah, so really, really big then. So
that's
so
big.
We're totally out of the realms here of a large deer, things like that. You know, because obviously there's going to be skeptics out there that say, oh, I just saw a deer. And, I mean, deers don't generally disappear, so, I mean, that rules that out.
That's what made us, like, think of the vanished.
Yeah.
Normally, even if, because I've obviously been out in the fields nearly all my life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if a deer runs past you, they'll get to the tree line, they'll stop and hide in the trees for a bit. And when you get the light on them, you'll see them dart and then go again, you know what I mean? So yeah. I kind of know how deers work, sort of thing.
This
was no deer, like, definitely 100% not. If I had carried on just going across the floor, I would have put it down as a deer with deformities, like.
Yeah. And just, I don't think we covered this actually, just before we go, like I said before, but when it jumped and disappeared, it's sort of like it went into a void, like...
Something was there.
Almost disappearing through a door, let's say, you know.
Yeah.
Just completely, you know. And
just
that,
gone.
You know, that in itself is, I mean, it's all entirely, you know, bizarre, isn't it? But, I mean, the elements, there's little elements in there that just... Yeah, it rules out anything that we know about. So, yeah, but thank you very much for sharing it for us and being kind enough to come on the show and tell people. And hopefully there is someone out there that's seen something similar. And like I said, if that happens, then obviously, you know, I'll let you know.
Because it'll be interesting to meet up with them that once I'm healed and go have a little hunt about. Like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm determined to find out what it was, and I just want to know what it was like.
Well... Maybe we'll get answers eventually, but I'll definitely pop over to that area myself, and like I say, I'll let you know if I see anything. You'll be the first person I'll let know. So, but yeah, thank you both for coming on and sharing your story.
No worries. Have a nice night.
And you. Thank you very much.
See you later, man.
What an interesting tale. Absolutely fantastic. You know, one of the most interesting parts is the. You know, the mid-air jumps, you know, I've not had that reported before, and that is absolutely extraordinary. The creature itself, I would say, sounds like what gets reported quite a bit up here, the deer man. All right, so this is deer's body, upper torso of a man. And that's quite common around these parts, and this creature does seem to fit that bill. Obviously, we can't say for sure, but that does seem to be what it... what it seems like. But again, if you've seen something strange or you know someone that's seen something strange, then please contact me at supernaturalpod@gmail.com. supernaturalpod@gmail.com. Just put in the description, Bigfoot, Dogman, whatever you want to put in there, just so I know that it's for this show and not, because that email is actually for our other podcast as well, Bizarre Tales. So, but it will get to me and I will read it and I will respond, you know, like that. So, that being said, thank you very much for joining us. Again, if you can help us out by sharing the show, you know, all that good stuff on your socials, absolutely fantastic. Helps us out massively, like you won't believe. If you can leave a review, Bobby Dazzler. That being said, have a great week until we meet again. And, yeah.